Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, January 3rd, 2011. It's 10 a.m. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jim Burns, and right now you are in Teacher Talk. My website is jameshburns.com, and right now you can download some great, great material there that I think you'll find interesting that's related to the show. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at jameshburns.com and at also on Facebook. At James H. Burns. It's a lot of James H. Burns. We just formed a new group there. It's called Bullyproof Assurance. I would welcome anyone to join the group. The number to call in, 646-595-4965. Again, that number, 1-646-595-4965. I welcome your calls. Please place the show in your favorites and rate the show. And if you know somebody that might be interested in anything that we have to offer today, tell them to check out the archives if they're not already listening right now. This topic that we're going to cover this morning, and I've titled it Relationships Are Forever, is a very, very difficult topic for me, strictly because relationships are very difficult to be in. They are very difficult to form. There are things that happen in relationships that violate trust, honesty, morality, whether or not you're a child and it's between a child and a parent, or between two parents, or if you're young and you're in a relationship as a 20-year-old. If you're older and have been divorced and are carrying around baggage that is associated with your past marriage, as I do right now, and so many of the other people that I have seen and dated over the years carry around, and it is an extremely tough thing for me to talk about. And I'm going to do my best to see if I can shed some light on this. Hopefully I'll help somebody out there with a relationship problem that they may be having. Because relationships are truly forever. And the reason I say that is you could be hurt in a relationship as a child by your parents. You can get to a position where you can forgive your parents for what they've done to you as a young child. But our minds will never allow us to forget what's happened. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes just remembering and having that information in your head can affect you for the rest of your life. And if you had a problem as a child with mom and dad because mom and dad didn't know what they were doing when they were raising you, maybe mom and dad were a little bit tough when it came down to disciplining you. Maybe mom and dad fought a lot and that affected you. Maybe mom had some expectations of dad that were never met. And she carried around a cargo load of anger and bitterness directed at dad, but never got divorced. So she was always either bad-mouthing dad, or maybe dad was bad-mouthing mom, and you were exposed to it. You never forget. You know, sometimes if we go through that, there is pain that's associated with it. But in reality, the environment that we are raised in as a child becomes, and what I'll call, quote unquote, normal. In other words, that's what we're exposed to. That's what we see. We may see no different. We may believe that this is the way it is. As an example, I was raised in a home that was considered a closed house. My mom and dad ran a bar, and we were there was always money around upstairs in my dad's bedroom and so on, and he never wanted anybody to get their hands on any of the money that was there, and people didn't come to the house. There was a lot of drinking that went on. There was a lot of secrecy that went on in my home, where we never disclosed information to others about our life or our home. My sisters, and I had two of them. By the way, I lost my sister in July, my oldest sister, and what a loss. What a loss. She was a wonderful gal, 67 years old, aneurysm. I honestly, as I said before, I do not deal with loss very well, and losing her was a tremendous loss for me, and I know it's going to take me a long time to recover. I've had a lot of losses in my life. And so I grew up believing certain things were just normal. And watching the relationship between my mother and father, and if anyone watches their relationship between their parents, what they're going to find is that what they observe, they take with them for the rest of their life. So if there's secrecy, if there is lying, if there's fighting, if there's problems with just intimacy within the framework of the relationship, that's what you observe. That's what you observe. And that becomes your benchmark for what you believe a relationship is about, at least initially. At least initially. And you move out into life. And there's a point in time that people get to, and I'm not even sure what it is. I can give you some benchmarks. I know that 10 years old, a youngster goes through something that I call mental puberty, and you've heard me speak about this before. That's when they lose the fear of disagreeing with their parents. That's when they start to have, you know, experiencing some of the, or wanting to experience some of the independence that goes along with that age. That's one benchmark. Teenage years is they try to experiment and move on and enlarge on that that independence. They begin to make their own mistakes. And so there are times in our lives where things, our minds become awakened to many things that have happened to us within the framework of our childhood. And I've often said that relationships are either going to bring out the best or the worst in us. So if the things that we observed revolved around lying, distrust, jealousy, envy, anger, and so on, and those things were brought out in the relationship that you observed in your mother and father, the chances are real good that when you get into a relationship, those things will be brought out again, and you will begin to experience those things in a relationship. And this is why I say relationships are forever. No matter what relationship a person gets themselves into, the thought and the remembrance of it will last a lifetime. So now, you as, or me, as a young person, decide that you're going to date. And you begin to date, you know, people that are familiar to you. And if you observe the worst being brought out in your parents, the relationship that you enter into could bring out the worst in you. So you may have levels of secrecy. You may have levels of non-trust. You may have levels of jealousy. Different things will start to come out in the relationship. And it is extremely difficult after a period of time while a person is in a relationship to decide that they're going to break off the relationship. Now, there's a rule of thumb here. There is a rule of thumb. And the rule of thumb goes something like this. If a person is married, every 10 years that they are in a relationship takes 1 year to recover after a divorce. So that means if you're married for 30 years, it takes you 3 years to recover. Now, it could take less, could take more. But healing from an injured spirit, an injured emotion, is much harder to do than healing from an injured bone. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a bone will heal and the pain will go away physically. And then once you get to the point where you can move your arm or your leg without pain, it's like it never happened. But emotions that are injured during the course of a relationship that you may be in, they may heal to a degree, but your remembrance of them stays. So all you have to do is to begin to think of the relationship again, whether it be good or bad. I know myself, while in a relationship, I have always thought of the good things that have gone on within the framework of a relationship and how wonderful it was when I was in it. So if I begin to think of a past relationship that I had with anyone, that could be a man or a woman, I become very melancholy and depressed. If I was dramatically hurt in the relationship, which has happened as well, I become more angry when I think of what happened. Or I begin to get down on myself and think about my own stupidity, maybe in staying too long in a relationship. And these things are very, very recent. These things that have gone on are very recent within the framework of my life. I mean, I've been divorced for 10 years, and I've had one long-term relationship in there, and I've had a few short little things that have gone on. I'm in one right now, which I'm going to talk about. But the idea that your emotions heal, things may get enough in the distant past with you mentally that you don't begin to think of them again, but they're always right there. They're always in your head. They're always there's always something that could that a song could trigger a thought between a thought that you had about a relationship that you had maybe 5 years ago, an event. You could visit an area that you were at with a person. There's a lot of different things that, that go on. And the idea that, that we can heal those emotions and heal that spirit quickly is false. Now, 1 year for every 10 that you're married, 30 years means 3 years, so it's like 10%. It's a little bit different when you're in a short-term relationship, because the intensity of a short-term relationship and the insecurities that go along with a short-term relationship, and the idea, and there, and you begin to get some traction and some momentum in that relationship, and maybe you become intimate in that relationship physically, and you're in that relationship for, we'll say, a year. For a year, it takes about 50% of the time that you were in the relationship to recover, because of the fact that everything was so damn good, and it may have just been one event that caused the relationship to be dissolved and you're not in it anymore. And also, it could be that you were in a relationship with a person and you were madly in love with them, but you know deep down, for some reason or another, you just didn't feel the commitment coming from them. And in this world of online dating, where people can meet each other, you know, every evening if they want, and they never have to leave their computer, you could begin to form multitudes of relationships, you know, in a very short period of time. And you could date, and you can date another person, and you can date another person, and you can date all kinds of people within the framework of the dating scene. You could date tons of people. But if you find a person that you would like to be with over the long haul, you don't know what their thought process might be, and they may still stay online looking for other people to date. Who knows? Who knows what they might be doing? You'll know if the relationship between you and a person is any good. You'll know. Okay, if a relationship between you and another person is any good, okay, based upon a few things. Number one, you talk during the day. In this age of cell phones, talking during the day is simple. It's just a matter of, hi, how are you? You'll text each other during the day. You won't be able to stop thinking of each other during the day, and you'll be planning to do things when you have free time. Those types of things are the hallmarks for a relationship that's slowly moving toward commitment, where you just want to talk and be with each other and spend time with one another. And you can feel it. You can feel the connection between you and another person. There is nothing more difficult than when one person has the desire to be in a relationship and the other person doesn't, and it borders on begging. It borders on begging. It's like you'll do anything to make the relationship work. Meanwhile, the person that you're with doesn't want the relationship to work, or they're too afraid to give it a chance. And that happens. But all of what happens is a result of the baggage that we carry with us throughout the course of our lives from the relationship that we observed when we were children and the experiences that we have when we're children. As an example, a person could be raised in a very, very, I'm not going to say poor environment, but I'm going to say an environment that's questionable in terms of money, whether or not there's enough money to go around all the time. And they may have a very, very scarce mentality. And to some people, money is love. Money is love, and money just makes things a lot easier, okay, to manage. It doesn't mean it's the only thing that makes a relationship work. It's one of the things that does, because there's no better feeling than being financially secure. I think everyone would vouch for that, but that's also relative to the type of lifestyle that you want to live. If you always have to have $1,000 in your wallet and you have to plan a vacation continuously, and you want to do things, and when you go to Costco, you spend $300 every time you go. And if you don't get things, you're cranky, or if you're afraid that you're not going to have the lifestyle that you want. In this economy right now, unless you have wealth, you're not going to have the lifestyle that you want. You're not going to have it. I'm sorry, it just is something that's not going to happen. And it's a known fact that in divorced families, each party, the mother and the father, the husband and the wife, lose 30% of their income. That's about the number. They lose 30% of their income in the divorce. So that means if dad was making 100, he's now making 70. This 30,000 goes somewhere else. And if dad was making 100, that means that mom has also lost 30% of her income, and she has to go, and her income may have been zero. So she's got to go out to work to make up the difference if she wants to live an independent life. The interesting thing is that in many instances, after divorce, what starts to happen is that people look to others in order to make up the difference in the income. And they look to get financial security from a relationship rather than love. And that's a very common thing, especially as people get older and they move closer toward retirement. You get divorced at 50, you're moving closer to retirement. You don't have the time, if you're a woman, to make up that difference. So you basically might be looking for somebody who is a little bit more financially secure, okay, and who has money and can make up the difference for you. And sometimes men do it as well. Sometimes men do it as well. And that becomes a real problem, and I'm going to explain to you why right after I just give you this call-in number. The number to call in, 646-595-4965. My name is Jim Burns, and right now you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and you are in Teacher Talk. Please give us a call. The chat room, I've had trouble opening. I don't know what the problem is. Do me a favor, put the show in your favorites, rate the show. Your feedback is important to me. And let other people know about this show. They can check it out in the archives if they're not already listening now. So we go through life. We get to a point where we're involved in a relationship, and the relationship is based upon what we observed as children and what became important to us as children. Mothers, fathers could share with their children, make sure that there's plenty of money. Make sure that there's money around for you to deal with. Don't get involved with somebody that doesn't have money. Don't be involved with dreamers. Don't be involved with people that don't have good jobs. Make sure that they're going to college. Mothers and fathers can create in a person a sense of scarcity, and if they don't, and sometimes the person who was getting married and who may be looking for financial security, okay, if that's all they're looking for, if that's what they're looking for, I hate to tell you, but that's all they're going to get. That's all they're going to get. They are going to be, you know, have a good lifestyle. Doesn't matter if their husband is out. Doesn't matter if the wife's working. Okay, doesn't matter if the husband doesn't come home till 8 o'clock at night. I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen situations, and this is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Where a wife was upset with her husband because he spent so much time at work. That work all the time. Didn't do anything around the house. Did nothing. Wasn't overly involved with the kids, but spent a lot of time at work. Had his own business. Brought home a bundle of money. Went on trips. Had a nice house. All of the things that somebody wanted in terms of finances was available to the wife and to the husband and to the children. There was never a worry about money. So what happened was, okay, because of the upbringing, because of this idea that money was more important than the relationship, what started to happen was the wife became financially secure, but emotionally she was a wreck. And there may have been some cheating and other things that have gone on in there. So what does she do? At 50 years old, she gets divorced. Married for almost 30 years. She gets divorced at 50. Her and her husband go through the split. She ends up with some money. She ends up with some properties and so on. And now she has a reasonable amount of money, but it's not enough because she lost about 30%. So now she doesn't have any dough, the same dough that she used to have. And when she re-enters into another relationship, the love, the affection, the time that she wanted from her husband, all of those things which were so important, okay, don't matter. Because what is she looking for? She's looking for the same type of lifestyle that she had. She wants the money. She wants to be able to have some type of security. And anyone that comes along that doesn't offer the security, regardless of how much he shows his affection, love, trust, commitment to the relationship, it's still no good. Because she lost the money. See, the money was what was the most important thing. And what she wanted when she was in the marriage, the love, the affection, the commitment, the involvement with children, and so on. Okay, what she was looking for in another relationship, okay, that got put on the back burner as well. Because the money, which was the most important thing to this person. I'm going to throw a word out to you. Or two words, actually. And this word is, these two words are called repetition obsession. Now, remember I told you it takes somewhere around 3 years to recover from a 30-year marriage? Doesn't mean it's going to take you 3 years to recover money. It means it's going to take you 3 years to get straightened out emotionally so you don't go through what's called repetition obsession. The repeating of the same behavior over and over again. And that's why people who get out of a marriage and don't spend the required time looking in the mirror and spend too much time using a magnifying glass to evaluate other people, okay, never realize that the people that they select, the healthiest person that they could select feels foreign to them, very foreign to them. They feel uncomfortable with it. If a person is giving love and affection and attention and appreciation and affirmation to the person and has a minimal income, but comfortable income, that'll never be enough, regardless of how well the person's treated, because they are that jaded by life. They're that jaded. So they repeat the same behavior, so that they end up with somebody who makes money. Okay, they got money. Money's great. It's good to have. It helps with everything. But they still go through their life feeling unloved, unappreciated, unaffirmed, no affection, no attention. And they're wondering how they did this again. They did it again because relationships are forever. They are forever. You could be in love with the girl that you went to the junior prom with, and you could be 50 years old because you had a relationship with that girl. You could be in love with your first wife. You can be in love with your second wife. You can be in love with your childhood sweetheart. You can be in love with anybody. Let me give you an example. And I'm going to talk very frankly here. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you're in for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, 6 months, whatever it is, and at some point you end up having sex with the person, that sex that you have with the person, and not that there's anything wrong with having sex with somebody, but the sex that you have becomes like duct tape. It's two-sided tape. And what happens is you have sex, and when you peel the tape off, when the relationship may end, what starts to happen is part of you stays with them and part of them stays with you. You never get rid of the memory. You never get rid of it. You never get rid of the memory. You never get rid of the thought. It's there. That's why, you know, kids, you know, at 16, 17, 18 years old that have sex, it really does jade them, and it becomes very, very painful when they break up with the person that they're with if they've had sex. Is there anything wrong with having sex? No. Not at all. Is there something wrong with having sex in a relationship that you're questioning? And a lot of times people will become committed in a relationship rather quickly, especially as you get older. Especially as you get older. Because you've experienced enough. Now, there are instances where somebody gets married at 20 and divorced at 50. And throughout the course of their marriage, their emotions were stifled. And they are 50 years old now, and they want to start to date again. But what they don't realize is there's growth that's needed to be able to have a healthy relationship with somebody. Because you could be 20 years old and enter into a relationship with somebody and be so immature that you can't manage something that's good. Something that's good and kind and gentle and caring and trustworthy, you don't even know. It's foreign to you. So your whole idea at 50 years old, because everything looks so odd to you, is to date a lot of people. Date numerous people. Go out, see one, see the other, go out with another one. Thinking that that's what you need to do. That's what you needed to do at 20. That isn't what you need to do at 50. What you need to do at 50 is something that is probably difficult to do, but it's probably the best thing to do. And I'll just use this as an illustration. If I date 10 people, I give 1/10 of my time to each one of those 10 people. How good is that? What are my chances of forming a relationship with any one of them? I mean, a strong relationship, committed relationship, probably none. Now, people will say, well, maybe when you're dating that one person, you give 100% of your time to that one and attention to that one person. You might, for that period of time, but you're always getting ready to give another 100% to somebody else. So, what's the answer to that? The answer to that is you date a person at a time. And like I said, with online dating right now, you can find one person to date. You could find a person to date and go out with them and enjoy your time with them. And if you follow what's called the 90-day rule, you can discover what you need to discover in 90 days. Very simple. 90 days, you'll know. That means you could literally date 4 people in a year and make a decision when you get through with the 4th one what you want to do. You may date one person for 90 days, another one for 90 days. And oh, by the way, you're waiting to have sex for 90 days as well. Why? Because it makes it easier to break up. It's not hard. How hard could it be? Just say, you know, this isn't working out. We got to get going. That's the 90-day rule in a relationship. Now, how much memory is placed in your mind with a relationship like that? How much is actually placed in your mind having a good relationship like that? But most people don't do that. Most people don't do it. Most people, okay, enter into a relationship when they are in their 50s, after a long marriage that didn't work out, with the thoughts of what they didn't have in the marriage, place unreasonable expectations on the person that they're dating, and expect them to meet all the needs that they had that weren't met within the framework of their marriage. And the pressure becomes unbelievable. And if you want to stay, and let's just say after 90 days you don't have the capacity to break up with the person, what will happen is you will stay with them and make it far more difficult to break up. Very, very hard. People don't deal with loss well. They really don't. I've read enough online articles. I've read enough information. I've read enough. I've experienced enough in terms of loss. I've had my children affected because of my divorce. I've had my ex-wife, she was affected because of my divorce. I've had a long-term relationship that was in there for 5 or 6 years that was impacted, that still impacts me to this day. And I am in a relationship right now with a absolutely wonderful person who doesn't have the capacity to commit. She, and interestingly enough, she did commit. She did commit to the relationship at one point. She wanted to be in it. We were soulmates. We were together. We were partners. We did all kinds of things together. We went away together. But for some reason or another, I was too foreign for her. I provided what she wanted outside of her marriage after she was divorced. And she was divorced for a year, and she was separated for a year and a half. So the interesting thing is she had about 2.5 years, but only 1 year of divorce. So what does that tell me? She hasn't recovered from her marriage yet. I've been divorced for 10 years. So what happened? All of a sudden, after a period of time and well beyond 90 days, she begins to think, maybe there's something better out there. See, she got married when she was 20. She got married when she was 20 years old. And what started to happen was she started thinking, well, maybe there's something else better. Maybe I missed something. Maybe there was something that, you know, I didn't experience when I was 20 years old. Maybe I need to experience it now. And, of course, money was the issue at, you know, throughout her marriage. She always had plenty of money. There was always plenty of dough. Always all kinds of money around, and she didn't feel as if there was going to be enough financial support on my end, trying to regroup the 30% that she lost in her marriage. And she makes a decision that she really likes being with me. Great guy. Treat her well. But because of her upbringing, because of the upbringing, because of the feeling of loss, because of the feeling of, I guess, being somewhat impoverished with her father being an alcoholic and all kinds of other things, okay, what happened was she took that with her. She got married at 20. Never lost those fears, stayed married till she was 50, still contending with it. What happens? She doesn't recognize love, affection, attention, and the relationships that she had were forever. They are forever. She'll never get beyond it. Never get beyond a relationship she had with her mother. Never get beyond a relationship that she had with her father. Never get beyond a relationship she had with her ex-husband. And anything outside of that is foreign, because the relationships that she had were forever and are forever. And the relationship that she'll have with me, or that she has had with me, or wherever it is right now, will be forever. It is very difficult, folks, to contend with loss. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it at all. And people who believe that they are good at it, who think that they can bounce in and out of relationships and who think that they could date somebody for 1, 2, 3 years and not have it impact their entire life are wrong. And that's why relationships have to be made very selectively. Because I want to tell you something. Once you fall in love with a person, and once you develop that feeling that you will miss them, you really enjoy their time, and another thing occurs is you become, and this is a very, very rare thing, you become good friends with the person. And I don't mean outside of the relationship. You and folks, let me tell you one other thing here. Don't ever think that after you have slept with somebody that you can be friends with them. Because you can't. Can't. It's too difficult. But if you have been friends with the person and or are friends with the person and have a physical relationship and enjoy each other's time and feel secure within that relationship, those things that have developed are things that should never be thrown away. They should never be thrown away. We have a very, very finite period of time in this world. A very small period of time in this world. Okay? 70, 80 years old, whatever the case may be. Tomorrow I'm going to be 56 years of age. 56 years old. If I live till I'm 70, I got 14 years left on this. Live till I'm 70, I got 14 years left on this planet. Live till I'm 80, which I'm hoping that I do, I got a little more time. And I want to tell you, I have never seen a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. You can never take money with you. And even if a person does have money, within the framework of a relationship, okay, what you will miss is the person, not the money. I know many people who've had relationships in their lives who, once the relationship, maybe there was a death, they didn't care about the money. They'll tell you that no amount of money mattered because they could never bring the person back. All they wanted was the person. All they wanted was the hand-holding, the kissing, the attention, the affirmation, the appreciation. That's all they wanted. And the respect that went along with it, and the caring, and the kindness, those are the things that they miss. The life insurance policy sure is great. You got a life insurance policy, okay, you get money, here's the money. Now what are you going to do? Wherever your focus is, whatever you have taken from your childhood and what you have believed is important in your life is what you will get within the framework of a relationship. Nothing else. Nothing else. If you want attention, affection, and so on, and love and kindness and caring, that's what's important to you, you will get that in a relationship. Difficulty is, what I said before, is the idea that if that's not foreign to you, if that isn't foreign to you, you'll be able to find it. If something else is more important, like money, lifestyle, and big homes and all the other things, that's what you'll get. And if you have been in a relationship that lacked those A's that I talked about, attention, affirmation, appreciation, and so on, and you had money and that was important, and that's the thing you want replaced, that's what you're getting. You'll never get. You will never, ever get the things that you think are what was missing. It just doesn't work that way, folks. What you were brought up with, what was important to you, is what you'll end up getting for the rest of your life, unless you realize that other things are more important. And this is a very difficult topic for me to talk about. Very difficult. It's one of these topics that are very. It's almost as if I can't take a completely objective view on it because of the fact that I've seen what's gone on. I've seen what's gone on in my own life, and I've seen what's called a repetition obsession that's gone on in the lives of others. Where they constantly, it's like kind of like the Bible calls it a dog returning to his vomit. So does a man return to his folly. And they do. They do. They return right to the same stuff all the time. And that's where they end up. See, they're too busy with the magnifying glass and they don't have enough of the mirror. Can be painful. It can be painful. If you're a baby boomer, your parents stayed married for a lot of reasons. Finances were one of them. If that's what you were exposed to throughout the course of your life, then that's what's important. Would I like to make a lot of money? You bet. Do I make a lot of money? I make a reasonable living. Have I protected the people that were in my care over the years, meaning my children? Yes, I have. That doesn't make me a bad guy. All that means is my time was invested in caring for them. Now they're getting older, and it's time, as I've moved on, to experience a different type of a life. And you look at it in terms of what I've just said, and I almost have to recover financially because I have spent so much time caring for my kids, doing things for my kids, that I haven't left enough available for myself. But one thing I do know is that there is plenty of me left, in terms of my love, my affection, my commitment, my desire, my kindness, my attention, and so on, to another person. And for some people, that's not enough. That isn't enough. And as you move through life, understand that there are those people. So, gentlemen, you can be the nicest guy out there who ends up divorced for who knows what reason. And if your income is minimal, if you come across a person who has difficulty, you know, with lifestyle, no matter how much you love them, you may have to say, I'll never be able to do it, because they will beef, moan, complain, carry on, and so on. Oh, they will always love you as a person, but they'll never commit themselves to you. And they never will. And ladies, let me tell you something. If you're a person who needs continuous flows of cash, find a guy that gives you a continuous flow of cash. But I caution you, that may be all you're going to get is a continuous flow of cash. Because that guy's got to work hard to make it. And if you want to be cared for, remember there are two ways a person can care for you, financially and emotionally. And if you weren't emotionally cared for and you find someone that will care for you emotionally, sink your teeth into them. Because believe it or not, you can always make it. It'll always work when you have two committed people who really do love one another. Relationships are forever. Forever. And the amount of money that a person makes shouldn't matter. It shouldn't. But it does. In this world. And I've often said, hurt people hurt people. A person who gets hurt within the framework of their marriage will end up hurting somebody else. And it becomes a lot to bear. And people need to realize what their needs are and go find somebody that's going to meet their needs. But once your needs are met, if that's what you were truly looking for, be happy with it. Be happy, just as happy with it in the 20th year as you were in the 20th day. Because it is something that will never go away. See, all of those A's don't go away if you got a real good, committed person on your hands. They do go away when the person dies, but that's it. This has been a very tough show for me to do. Very, very tough. Not something I like talking about. It's something that I've observed. It's something that I know occurs. And I want everyone to be completely aware of it. Relationships are forever. And what you develop as a child and what you see as important, you will carry with you through your entire life. So what you want, you will get. My feeling, I'll take love and affection, attention, understanding, appreciation, and affirmation before I'll take any amount of money. I'll take a person that puts me in a position of a priority in their life, not an option. I will take that before I'll take money. What are you going to take? What matters to you? Where is your heart? You need to think about these things because they are that important. They are that important in terms of lifelong happiness. My name is Jim Burns. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'll be back on next week. Check your schedule for the time. It's been a pleasure talking to you this morning.